Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely fantastic day today. A lot of stuff going on, as always. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Awesome. I'm doing absolutely wonderful. And I guess I'm doing better than the people over there in Syria. They seem to have got a big full-blown civil war going on in the northern part of the country again. And now people are really coming out and saying that they don't like what's happening over there and that Donald Trump made a mistake. And I'm going to say something that I said yesterday. I'm going to kind of repeat myself on this a little bit. We don't know what's going on over there. You know, Turkey is escalating this. Now we're going to be throwing sanctions on Turkey. And now Nancy Pelosi says they're going to reverse Trump's decision to pull the troops out of Syria. I don't know how they're planning on doing that with him being the commander-in-chief. Don't understand any of this stuff that's going on. But, guys, I can tell you who's in the middle of it. I can tell you. You can dig under any rock. Anytime you dig under a rock and you dig deep enough, you're going to find these Sabbatean, Kabbalists, Luciferian, Satanists, the group that took down Building 7. Yeah, the same group that's always doing everything. They're in the middle of all of this stuff. They're orchestrating this. And, guys, it's so weird to me that we watch this stuff unfold and we see it basically on the news in Technicolor. Sometimes the news gets stuff wrong and sends us the wrong footage. Dawson will talk about that in a second. But the craziest part is this. If we minded our own business and we weren't the do-boy for the United Nations and for Israel as far as their military, how should I say this, mercenary enforcers with our military, we wouldn't be over there anyhow. I mean, why in the world? Saudi Arabia has so much money, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's ludicrous, okay? And, you know, and Israel is one of the wealthiest nations in the world. They're completely Rothschild-backed and funded. But yet we send billions and billions of dollars of aid there every year to support their communist lifestyle and their number one gay destination in the world lifestyle in Tel Aviv. We do all of this crazy stuff, and yet we are broke in this country as far as paying our bills. We've got so many people who are living below the income standards they should have in this country because we're giving so much money away, and we're piling debt upon debt upon debt in our children and generations to come. Our military expending is so far off the chain, it's almost ridiculous. We spend more money than like the next 20 countries combined as far as in the world is on our military expenditures. And why? So we can be the police state for the entire planet, and we can run around forcing our will with people. And then to try to subsidize all of this massive expenditures that we do, what do? We sling dope out of Afghanistan to the CIA. I mean, you can't even make this stuff up. And you think to yourself, what the heck? Why are we involved in this? Why are we involved in the Middle East? Why are we trying to overthrow all of those countries? Why? And we cover all the stuff. We talk about why we're doing it. We've covered it on the show many times. But you ask yourself, you know, we the people haven't voted for any of this stuff. We have decided a long, long time ago that we didn't want to be involved in it, but it didn't make any difference. I was in Switzerland a few years ago. And it was interesting. A lot of you guys have heard of Rick Steves. He's got that little travel channel on PBS. And I was in a little town called Gimlervik. And Rick Steves was there. He was actually there. He was staying with a guy by the name of Ollie. And they have a little bed and breakfast there in Gimlervik. It's up in the Swiss Alps. You have to take a tram to get there. It's like a city has – this town has like 100 people in it. It's in the middle of a – it's beautiful is what it is. It's stunningly beautiful. And what was crazy about it is Ollie came out and we were talking and he had told me Rick Steves was there and et cetera. Rick Steves had a cold and so he didn't want to see anybody. I said, whatever, don't need to see Rick Steves. And what was interesting about it was he said to me, why are you Americans like this? And I'm like, like what? Why do you have all of these constant wars and why do you keep invading all these countries and killing all these people? And I said, I'm not voting for that. He said, well, you don't do anything about it. And I said to him, I said, what would you like for us to do about it? I said, you know, I constantly send out emails. I send out information. This is before I started my talk show, our talk show with Austin, our Austin Brower show. And he said, you know, you guys basically, you know, need to do something. Your government's out of control. He said, you guys are hated all over the world. And I said, you're right. So there's the quandary. You know, we're doing everything we possibly can, Austin and I, on this show every single day. You guys are helping us by distributing this show. And we talk about it. I mean, guys, think about it for a second. You know, the military, especially the Marine Corps, you know, and you know, so many different branches of the armed service and so many different divisions, you know, with what happened with Patton and his army and all these other people in World War II, I mean, we had tremendous prestige as a country, and our military was based in honor and doing what was right. And all of a sudden, What the heck? We become global enforcers and we kill people with drones, you know, 12,000 miles away. We bomb churches and families and weddings and people picking nuts on trees. I mean, where did that come from? How did it get so messed up? And the question is simply this. What happened to our government? Why in the world do we have this breakaway government that took over in the 40s and the 50s and basically have controlled us ever since? Starting with the Exchange Stability Fund in 34 when the Rothschild banking cartel took over the Treasury of the United States to the New York Fed. All of this stuff has happened since 1913. So now we've used to be the most loved country in the world. You know, the people in Paris, they had parades for us and they were screaming and yelling and they were happy to see us. And they were so happy that the Americans were there. And little by little, that prestige has gone away to the point now. Let me ask you guys a question. Are the people who are in Afghanistan, are they doing an honorable thing by guarding the poppy fields? Is that something I shouldn't ask? Does the military still operate under honor, or are we the mercenaries of these special interest groups? I mean, what the heck? I mean, where did we get to this point, and how can we get away from this? You know, there are so many people out there now that are criticizing Trump for pulling out of Syria. There are also people who are praising Trump for pulling out of Syria. My response is this. Why don't we just get out of the Middle East altogether? How about that? How about if Israel wants protection? They've got over 100 nuclear weapons. They can protect themselves. You know, how about Afghanistan? What the heck? Well, that's right. We got to guard the drugs there. We've got to keep that going. No, we don't. I mean, why are we doing this? This opiate epidemic is worldwide now. You know, 60,000-70,000 people dying every year in the United States from this. We know Turkey's using a lot of that Afghan heroin. They're making all kinds of pills now, and people are getting off of the injectable heroin. They're getting all the sustained-release opiates. I mean, like OxyContin. We see all this in the news every day. You know, why are we there? You know, why did we overthrow Libya? Libya was one of the most prestigious countries in Africa, one of the highest standard of living, one of the most highly educated and fluent populations. But, you know, the witch of Benghazi and Obama just won't take them out. That's right. They had an independent central bank, didn't they? The Federal Reserve Bank hadn't taken them over yet. That's the reason we basically overthrew Libya. And, you know, and look at Egypt. I mean, Egypt was a mess to start with, and it's even worse now. I mean, all of these things, it's like everywhere we go, we create all this mayhem and all of this drama and all of this turmoil. Why can't we just stay here? I mean, why do we have to be in the Middle East? That's my question. Why do we still have to have a military base in Germany? Why do we still have to have, you know, tens of thousands of troops posted in South Korea when the South Koreans don't even want us there? They protest, they riot, they don't riot, but they protest against us all the time, even being in their country. Why are we even there? Why do we care what North Korea does to South Korea? I mean, why do we care? I don't care. You guys care? I don't care. When you find out that what they're trying to do is overthrow all these countries and put in these Rothschild central banks. I remember when we went into Iraq, you know, which was kind of crazy, but we did it. And I'll never forget. You know, I remember it was Tom Brokaw came on the NBC Evening News, and he said, for the first time in the history of Iraq, they no longer have a government-controlled central bank. And I'm like, what? You know, what does that mean? He said that. It was like a news announcement. And what happened is they had sent Wolfowitz in. They had set up another Rothschild central bank over there. You're thinking, what the heck? Well, yeah, there you go. You got to control those oil reserves. You got to make sure you print a bunch of, you know, debt-based currency so eventually they can't pay things off. Let me give you a little hint here real quick. And this is really, really important. And I wanted to share this with you. When you print debt-based currency, let me give you an example. I'm going to give you the whole analogy again. If I had a bunch of money and I decided to buy the island of Grenada and I spent all my cash and I had no more money, no more credit, but I owned the island, but I had no working capital on the island, and I went to somebody like, you know, some rich guy, you know, gosh, you hate to pick some globalist, but some rich guy, let's say Bill Gates, and you say, Bill Gates, we know you're worth billions of dollars. I need to borrow $10 billion from you, so we're going to put your little picture on the dollar bills, and we're going to make a Bill Gates currency. You'll be the central bank of Grenada. And Bill Gates goes, well, I'm not going to do that unless you give me some money back because I've got to have a little bit of risk associated with this. And reality is there is no risk. You know, what happens, what's the worst thing that happens? You don't get the money back. You're printing it out of nothing. You're not backing it in gold. So Bill Gates basically says, okay, I'll print you $10 billion. I'm going to charge you 7.2% interest. You go, okay, great. That's great. And so you put the $10 billion into Grenada. You build the roads, infrastructure. People are happy. They're blessed. 10 years later, that 7.2% doubles itself. So now you not only do you owe the original $10 billion to Bill Gates, but you owe $10 billion in interest. Here's your catch. The interest was never put into circulation. It was never made available to the public. It's basically just funny money. So no matter what you do, if, even if you gave him the entire $10 billion back, you would still owe him $10 billion in interest, and now you're $10 billion in debt further. Now you're $20 billion in debt. So you make that part of your national debt. So now you owe $20 billion on your national debt. You go, well, how'd that happen so fast? Well, the same thing happens again. You do it all over again. You basically borrow more money from Bill Gates. You borrow another $20 billion. You stick it on the debt. Next time it turns around, you know, you've got $40, $50, $60, $70, $80 billion, whatever the numbers are that you owe. And this is what happens after 20 years. You start off with a debt-free country that needed currency, and now you've got $80 billion in debt after 20 years. You're like, what the heck? Now you have no hope of paying it back. Because remember, the only money that was ever put into circulation was the first $10 billion. And that's what the national debt is. That's what the International Monetary Fund and all these people do that go in to rape these third world countries. This is what they do. They go in and they put the stuff into infrastructure. They never put the money into circulation. They borrow, they loan the money to these people. They give them all of the debt. This is what's happening in Ecuador right now with the rioting in the streets. They have no ability to pay the money back. And what ends up happening is this international banking cartel then comes in. They rape the forest. They start mining the trees. They start taking the trees out, logging the trees, taking the trees out, taking all the hardwoods out, taking out the Ecuadorian rainforests for basically hardwoods to send all over the world. Then they go in there with their doggone oil companies. They start raping the ground and not doing proper, how should I say this, recapturing the oil and all the spray that comes off the tanks. And then all of a sudden they start flooding the entire area with oil. They've ruined the entire ecosystem. They're doing that in Ecuador right now, and they're rioting in the streets because they can't pay their bills. And the subsidies are all stopping. They get deeper and deeper into debt. This is why they're called economic hitmen. There was a book written about it a few years ago. And again, it's the same guys. It's always the same guys. It's the same guys who run the international banking cartels. I had a guy this morning. Everyone would know if I mentioned his name on the show. And he's absolutely convinced that Trump's the savior. And that, you know, and the Zionists and the weirdos and the Sabbatean Kabbalists are done. They're over with. It's over. The Trump's going to get rid of all of them. And I said, my response back to him was, dude, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I mean, I'd like to believe that. But what about the central banks? The Rothschilds, their fiefdom is Israel. They control the United States through the central bank. They control Russia through the central bank. They control China through the central bank. They control almost every country in the world through the central banks. If we suddenly threw these guys out without doing it in an orderly way, like nationalizing the Treasury, nationalizing the Federal Reserve, and that, do you remember, they took the Treasury over with the Exchange Stability Fund. We gotta bring all that stuff back in. And it's gotta be done in gradual stages or everything collapses. We'll go back into the free fall as far as money. It'll happen like ancient Rome did, just collapse. And that's what would happen if we said, suddenly, you guys have got to go. And they know that. They know that. That's why they did what they did, and they sold the debt to other countries, and they interlocked us with everybody else. So unless we get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank, and you say, well, Ted, you got to remember, at the highest levels of the Federal Reserve Bank, these guys are Luciferians. These are the Sabbatean Kabbalists. They worship Satan. They engage in human sacrifice. They drink blood. This is the group that has the inner connection to Lucifer. The Rothschilds, according to the bloodlines, set a place setting at their dinner table every night for Lucifer himself. And they say every 37 years he manifests and shows up. That's kind of a nightmare of a dinner guest, I guess. But these guys want him to come. And so this is the thing. And they say, well, are they really talking to Lucifer? I don't know who these guys talk to, guys. There's some interdimensional things that are going on out there that we don't really understand. I talked about it last Friday on the show. But, guys, there's some sick people out there doing some sick things. And I hate to tell you this, guys. We've got a spiritual crisis in the United States, and it will not be taken care of by a political solution. Remember what happened when we left England. It was done by the pulpits. The pulpits in 1774, 5, and 6, they pushed the Revolutionary War to get rid of England. They said enough. They said enough. We're not going to let you guys have tyranny over us. And so we had a spiritual solution which involved a political process which got rid of the tyranny of England. We don't have that anymore. Now we just have a political process that's deeply flawed and deeply corrupted. And we need to understand that Trump cannot save us. Prayer will save us. Having Christians get back in the pulpit and be real men will save us. Having pastors tell the truth to their flocks will save us. And we will all get back together and we will fix this mess and we'll get rid of this corruption that's Washington, D.C. But without a spiritual solution, there can be no correction of any of this stuff. And our forefathers in 1776 knew that. That's why they put God first. And it's so important that we all understand what's going on and who's running the show. Until we get back to real money, real sound money, and we get rid of this funny money with all this debt, because I just explained to you, you can never pay back the debt because it's not put, the interest is never put into circulation. So even if you give all of the principal back, you still owe the debt, the interest money that was never paid. So then you got to give them all your gold or all of your stuff or all of your oil reserves or whatever you got to do. They own the country. And this is what they've done to these third world countries. Austin, tell us about what's going on in Ecuador. Tell us the other stories that you have. But I just want to give you kind of a little, I want to just tee it up for just a second so everybody would understand what we're talking about this morning as far as what's going on with these economic hitmen in Ecuador and what's going on with these crazy people in the media. Austin, what's up?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And I mean, if you just look at Ecuador back just in the 90s, their overall total public debt, total everything, their entire debt of a country was $240 million. That's it. For a country that has a vast amount of resources with oil and rainforest. Now, currently, their debt's at $16 billion, and it's climbing rapidly because they're continuing to take more and more loans from the IMF. And Dad explained it so well, so I'm not going into more detail with it, but this is what they do. They end up owning the country at the end and never even spend any money. Because when they give these loans out via the IMF, they designate them that they have to be used for certain roadways, infrastructure, water filtration, electric, power plants, so forth. And then what they do is they also designate in these contracts when they give them these billions of dollars that they have to use certain contractors and subcontractors that the bank approves of, which are pretty much their cronies that they're getting kickbacks to. So they loan them the money that has to go back to their partners that they get kickbacks on so they can rebuild the country and make it nicer with better infrastructure, better electric, better water filtration, and then turn around. And as Dad said, they never have the money to be able to pay back the interest. Once it clicks, and it'll click, I mean, if you read about it enough, if you look at it enough and you do your research, it'll click in your brain at some point. And when you realize what they do and how they manipulate the system and how they've taken over 100 countries now all throughout the globe, it's almost unreal. It's mind-boggling, to be honest with you, to see what they do and what they get away with. And then you start understanding why so many countries in the past threw out the bankers. You start understanding why Jesus, the only point in time ever in recorded history, he absolutely lost his temper, was against the bankers in the temple, the doggone money changers that were manipulating the market with their unjust scales. This has been something that's been repetitive for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And until we fully expose these guys on alternative media and on mainstream media and get the rest of the population to click in their mind of what the bankers are doing and how they control, manipulate the market, we'll never be free of this beast as far as we know of the Federal Reserve Bank, because they end up controlling the strings on almost everything that's going on. For example, you know the mainstream media is, they lie. They lie, they lie, they lie. You know, we talked about yesterday, we heard about Syria was basically starting to go and a lot of issues over there. And there are. I'm not negating the fact there is a bunch of stuff going on. Syria's obviously got some always issues. Well, in ABC News, broadcasted on Sunday, World News Tonight, and on Monday's edition of Good Morning America, a very aggressive video that they said was a full-blown invasion of Turkey into Syria. The death toll was astronomical. They didn't know what was going on. And it's a video, and you first look at it for a second, and you're like, oh my gosh, tracer rounds going off everywhere. And then the same thing when I first saw it, I went, golly, why does that look like Knob Creek? Why does that look like the machine gun factory down there, the machine gun shoot house in Kentucky? And sure enough, some people started doing some research on it, and NBC and ABC News actually took fake footage, was real footage, from Knob Creek machine gun shoot in 2017, aired it on national television, and said, this is a full-blown invasion in Syria right now. We don't know what the death toll is. We basically are showing the situation rapidly spiraling out of control in northern Syria, and we're going to keep you apprised on it as they continue to show video footage of the Knob Creek machine gun shoot in Kentucky, where law-abiding citizens take their legally owned machine guns, including M134 miniguns, M250 cal belt fed, anything and everything you can possibly think of. They go there to shoot it and have an absolute blast. And they took that footage and aired it multiple times on national television and lied to the American population and told them this was the invasion of Turkey into Syria. Now, again, I'm not negating the fact that Syria is in turmoil right now. But what I'm showing you guys here is the mainstream media lies, they lie, and then they lie some more. We've even already seen now just a snippet of some of the video footage from Project Veritas. I told you guys this was coming out yesterday. Some of it's already been released on here, and there's been video footage that's already come out now against the CNN company president, Jeff Zucker, telling top news executives to focus solely on the impeachment because that's what they're supposed to report on, even at the expense of any other news. Project Veritas, whose founder, James O'Keefe, describes himself as a guerrilla journalist, built up the release on social media of exposed CNN, and Monday published the first small segment as what is billed a multi-part series. The video features Kerry Porch as well, who claims he was a satellite uplink technician at CNN's Washington Bureau before he said his dream job quickly turned into a nightmare due to CNN's propaganda and blatant bias. They have one of the videos in here. It says, I don't care about the MSNBC event, says Jeff Zucker. I don't care about them. Let's just stay focused on what we need to push, and that's the impeachment. We shouldn't just pretend, oh, this is going one way, so all of these moves are toward impeachment, and that's what we specifically have to cover. CNN is fake news. MSNBC, ABC, Fox News. Oh, don't write me on that one. You guys already know I was going to hit Fox News. They're all fake news. They're all designed specifically to tell you and keep the narrative of what they want to keep in line. Just because one news agency has somebody like, you know, Tuckerson or another individual that may talk briefly about something that's important, they use it to balance the narrative so it doesn't stay continually hardcore left biased to push their agenda. But at the root of all of it, when you look down at most of it, it is all controlled by the bankers. They control all the mainstream media outlets, and that's why so many times you have seen mainstream media outlets literally parrot word for word the exact same script on multiple topics all across the board, because it is what they are told to say. It is what they are told to cover, just like the guy over here at CNN. We're covering the impeachment. Doesn't matter what else is going on. This is what we're supposed to push. This is what we're supposed to talk about. This is all you will cover, because they want to keep the mainstream population wrapped up in the lies and propaganda. Goebbels was an amazing propaganda policeman. I mean, as far as hitman, I mean, he had some of the best propaganda ever designed during Germany's, there's Nazi Germany. And I've talked about him in detail before. CNN, NBC, Fox, ABC, all these guys have taken the key points, the top key sales tactics, the main propaganda pieces, and they've used them specifically now against the American population. And we have to understand what's really, really going on right now to fully understand what the media is trying to do and how the mind control and just manipulation is so effective. And that's why you have to keep your head out of that garbage. If you got to look at some stuff for news or try to keep an open mind on it, go for it. But the tempo, the way they say things, the color of the tie that they wear, the color of the font, the specific font that they have, the specific words that they keep putting up in big bold red, alert news, mass shooting, they do it all the time. And once you wake up and you see it, it's like you put sunglasses on and you see it from a whole different perspective once it actually clicks in your mind and you realize what's going on. Good news, though, down here in Florida, we have legislation now that was aimed at trying to strengthen vaccination requirements. That has been completely and totally dropped, dead on arrival now. Over 25 people spoke against it at the Broward County delegation meeting, basically said we are absolutely opposed to these mandated vaccines. We will not allow you to get rid of our religious vaccine waivers. We are not going to allow you to take us down the road of California and New Jersey and all these other states now that have reduced it down to medical exemptions only, which we already see in California now how that's heading to the point where they want to have their own personal health board that allows the medical doctors to even write these now, so they don't even get a chance. And say it's done. Once they pass these bills, it's over with. Florida now, we still have the vaccination exemption for basically religious exemptions. Incredibly awesome. Very good. I always highly suggest everybody goes and gets those in the state of Florida if you don't want to inject your children with formaldehyde and aborted fetal tissue and polyasorbate 80 and mercury and aluminum, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is really good. I'm really proud of these guys. Really, really, really staunch proponents of free speech and clean vaccines. They made their stance. They made their point. They went through with it, and they basically made sure this legislation is going absolutely nowhere in the state of Florida. So great job to these guys. The first fight's been won on this. It's not going to stop in the state of Florida. We're going to have to continue pushing and speaking the truth about this and exposing what's really going on with a lot of these toxic vaccine adjuvants, and demand that if they want to start allowing vaccines at this level and they want to start pushing them and they want us to believe them, they have to start producing clean vaccines. Because it's ironic, I saw an article the other day, and again, pushing the hardcore propaganda of the MMR vaccine, which we now know the MMRV vaccine, as I talked about repeatedly last week, has mutated, fully intact, aborted fetal DNA tissue in it, 99.8% fully intact. We already know that. I went about that in detail. And they go into detail in this article right here, and it says how New York's action came after the measles outbreak. And, you know, they did this for the betterment of society, and it happened in another 28 states to the point now that over 1,000 people have been sickened. And you kind of start looking at it and you go, 1,000 people in what, one state, two states, all the states, what, 30,000 people out of a population of 28 states averaging, what, 150 million people? It's a joke. Nobody's even died. This stuff, don't get me wrong, measles isn't fun to get. It's not something you're like, hoorah, hoorah, I got measles. But once you get it one time, naturally, you're completely immune to it again. Essentially, you're probably not going to get it ever again unless you really, really get some crazy mutated exposure from these vaccines. And that's what nobody wants to talk about. Almost everybody that's contracting measles are the individuals that got the measles vaccine. So I'm not going to go any further into that. But again,
right.
I want to really, really commend everybody that stood firm on this, went forward, spoke their mind, pitched a legitimate fit on this, and now we still have basically religious vaccines in the state of Florida, and we have to keep fighting for it, Deb.
And I imagine that the person who pushed this bill through and tried to get it through in the state of Florida will probably not be reelected, and I hope they're not. It's just very important that we all stand our ground. So when you ever get a – if you ever have a county hearing on this stuff, which I looked and looked and looked. I couldn't find one in Polk County. If you have one, you've got to go there, and you've got to express your opinion. And, guys, don't just go up there and start pitching a fit and screaming and yelling. Don't do that. Start citing specific reference studies about the MMR vaccine, the dangers of it. Look at the Vaccine Compensation Board. Start talking about our religious rights, that we have a right not to have injected aborted fetal cells, you know, human dead babies injected into our children, and talk about it very, very civilly. And don't get in there and start screaming. Now, you can do it with an emphasis, and you can do it with passion, but don't start going into a hysterical meltdown and start kicking and screaming on the floor. Don't do that. That makes us all
look out.
Let me tell you a funny story. Years ago, we had a problem with a conditional use permit here at my house, and we had a lady who basically worked for the sheriff's department and who basically opposed our conditional use permit, who was one of our neighbors. And she actually went down to the county commissioner's, not the county commissioner's office, but to the zoning board office, and she started kicking and screaming and fell on the floor like a child. I mean, on the floor. I mean, this is an adult woman in her 30s at that time, screaming and yelling on the floor, kicking. And I talked to the guy. I said, he told me she was on the floor kicking and screaming. And I said, oh, I laughed. And I said, yeah, you're doing that. You're exaggerating. He goes, Ted, I'm not exaggerating. This woman was on the floor kicking and screaming. I said, you mean she was literally on the floor, laying on the carpet, screaming and yelling and pitching a fit like a two-year-old would do if you took their lollipop away? He goes, Ted, she was on the floor kicking and screaming. We've never seen anything like it before. Don't do that. That's not cool. Okay, that's some weird stuff, guys. And this is she's probably an only child who basically got away her entire life with pushing her will and trying to force people to do things that she wanted to do, have done, and she basically didn't get her way, and so she went to the floor, kicking and screaming and pounding on the floor with her kicking her feet. You think, well, that's something I'd like to see. And guys, years later. I shouldn't tell you all these personal stories. Years later, we had a gate easement issue, you know, on our property, and it was really weird. And I saw a girl collapse on the floor, sobbing and kicking and screaming on the ground, you know, outside in the rain, by the way, in the mud.
In the dirt.
In the dirt. Well, awesome. Were you there that day when that happened? I want to see you.
I came down there after that, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's just something I really never thought would happen. So that's there's two incidents of people that I know that are full grown adult females that go to the dirt, kicking and screaming, or the carpet. You think, well, that just seems weird. I didn't tell you it wasn't weird, okay? I think it's Looney Tunes personally, but that's what happens when some people don't get their own way. That's like the liberals, okay? The liberals in California, now their governor now has said that basically he's going to ban the selling of all fur products in California. They're going to ban it. So if you have like any new fur products, they're no longer be able to sell. So now everybody's throwing giant sales on all the furs, you know, in California, because a lot of the Hollywood people like to wear them. But then people started running up and throwing red paint and blood and everything else on the fur jackets when they're wearing them. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I know that's a very controversial issue. I got that. But, you know, people have been wearing fur for thousands of years. I mean, you know, God had to make that type of garment for Adam and Eve. You know, but the crazy part about all of this stuff is if someone wants to wear a fur jacket or a fur coat or a fur-lined collar, why would you care? I mean, why do you care? It's kind of their deal. I remember years ago, my wife and I were snow skiing. This is 20 years ago. And I'd bought her a jacket that was kind of like had a little bit of fox on it. And that we were in one of the little, we were at a place called, it wasn't Telluride, it was Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And we were skiing there, and we went to a shop, and some lady who was working in the shop just absolutely came unglued that my wife had this trim of fox on her jacket. And I looked at the lady and I said, you know, what's wrong with you? And she was, I don't like it. And I said, well, you know, you need to think through this. I said, you're wearing tennis shoes right now that are leather. And she looked at me and she goes, so what? I said, are you that inept that you don't realize that this leather comes from a dead cow? And she looked at me kind of funny and she didn't know what to say. And I said, if you're wearing any kind of leather, you're using an animal skin. So what the heck is your deal? I said, are you going to say now we only wear canvas tennis shoes or fiberglass tennis shoes or plastic tennis shoes or cotton tennis shoes? I said, what is your deal? I said, same thing with boots. If you have boots that are going to be used for hiking that are leather, I said, are you going to tell me you can't wear those anymore? So, guys, be really careful. Don't get into that kicking parade that we're going to get rid of all animal products. Now, I will say this. The testing of a lot of products on animals that are locked up in laboratories, et cetera, and treated so inhumanely, it's unbelievable. That kind of stuff's wrong. I don't like that either. I remember years ago when I was in neurophysiology at Florida State, we had a professor who liked to catch cats for laboratory experiments by putting a can of tuna fish outside of the door. Austin, I'm not making this up. And this guy, instead of going to the local humane society or the local pound where they're going to be killing these cats, he just put a doggone thing of tuna fish outside with a little trap, catch a cat. I'm not joking. So the next day you come into class, he's got this cat we're going to do an experiment on. And I'm like, this is like a pet. It's a really pretty cat. You know, it's purring. It's all happy. You're like, okay, this isn't a feral cat. This is somebody's pet. He didn't care. Just did not care. This is 40 years ago, right? I'm sure the guy's long gone and dead. And I remember one day we had to kill this cat for an experiment in the class. And it really bothered me. And guys, I'm not a cat guy. I don't like cats. But this cat was perfectly groomed in perfect condition. I mean, this cat was not feral. And I thought to myself, why are we doing this? That kind of stuff is wrong. And I told him, I voiced my opinion. Of course, he ended up fussing at me in the class when I voiced my opinion. I said, guys, this ain't right. I said, this is one of what's-his-face's cats he caught with a can of tuna. I said, this is stupid. What are we doing? But it doesn't matter because, you know, pets are pets. Now, I'm not a big fan of cats. Everybody knows that because of toxoplasmosis, the brain parasite that can come from cat feces and get into humans. You get brainworm. I mean, what the heck's that all about? But, you know, you got to realize that, you know, we've been processing animal meats on this planet for thousands of years. And it's just something we're going to do because of the protein content. And we need to understand, guys, that, you know, we can't just go out and start pitching fits and throwing blood on people's clothes and saying, hey, you can't wear that. It just doesn't work that way. Again, a lot of this is being done to push us to non-meat protein like soy.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, this is what they're doing. Now they're making soy burgers that supposedly taste really good. Last week when I was on Mancow's show on Friday, some lady got on the show, wanted to argue with me, she'd call in, about soy protein, about how great it was for you. And I looked at her and I finally said, look, there's different articles you can read about soy. I'm not going to argue with you. I said, I don't think it's good. I think it feminizes men. I said, but here's the thing. 100% of the non-organic soy products in the United States are sprayed with glyphosate, and they're contaminated with glyphosate. And you're basically eating Roundup with these products, and they can be tested and see that there's Roundup in them. So if you're going to eat soy, which I really recommend that you do not, I said, you make sure you buy it organic. And she couldn't argue with me about that. See, this is what we need to understand, guys. This group of tree huggers are running around trying to force us to eat soy to feminize men because of toxic masculinity. Yeah, I just said that, didn't I? They don't like guys that are macho. They don't like, you know, Charles Bronsons or real football players or real athletes or guys that actually have some testosterone left in their system. They don't like that. They want everybody to walk around being a little, well, we'll use the word candy. That's an easier word to use. It's more politically correct. Of course, this show's so politically incorrect, what differences make, but I don't want to offend people that are listening. But you know the word that I'm talking about. We'll use the word candy instead. And then these guys basically, then these little candy boys who have lace on their panties who want to wear makeup get in the pulpit and start preaching. And you can see the little boys, they got their little makeup on in the pulpit and their hands are perfectly manicured and their hair is perfectly in place and they're wearing their perfectly the designer clothes and they have their little sleeves pushed up and they got their holes in their jeans, and they look like they're really effeminate. You think, what the heck? What am I going to learn from this guy? You know, I'd rather have a guy get up there, head shaved, you know, good speaker, you know, good shape, then I'd be a bodybuilder, but, you know, good shape, who's real macho, who goes, hey, look, let's talk about the real world and how this thing works. And, you know, and just let's not play this little stupid game. Let's call it out. Let's say if we see a 6'6" guy walking through the front door, he's wearing a mini skirt, he's got hairy legs and a deep voice, and he goes, my name is Sue, how do you do? You'll call me she. And you get, no, I won't, I'll call you mentally ill. Why don't we have pastors say stuff like this? Why don't we have pastors come out and address these issues? This is the problem that we have. And this is why we have so many people listening to this show. I mean, this is why we keep getting bigger and bigger. And thank you for your support, and thank you for listening and forwarding these shows on. There's a point in time where we as Americans and we as Christians have to draw a line in the sand and say, hey, wait a minute, that's not okay with me. I don't believe this. I mean, now we've got little girls scared to death to go to bathrooms because of transgenders, because there's a guy in the bathroom. There's a guy basically stalking my daughter in the bathroom. She's 6 years old. There's a man sitting on the toilet, you know, coughing in the back like, what the heck? I remember years ago, my little daughter was in kindergarten, first grade, and I can't remember where it was, so long ago, and she went into the bathroom at this private school we had, and the one that didn't like to put, wanted to put Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas on, that I pulled them out of immediately thereafter. And I remember she saw a woman sitting in the stall, and she saw a pair of men's boots underneath the door, underneath the stall door, and she just lit up and started screaming at the top of her lungs, ran out the hallway screaming, there's a man in the bathroom, and just screaming. Well, it ended up being a very, how should I say, masculine female wearing men's work boots. You know, and she's screaming and yelling in the hallway. I mean, had a big meltdown. I mean, had to, like, be calmed down, and they had to, like, get security in there. I mean, she did a big brouhaha. Well, if we all did that, not to the point of falling on the floor kicking and screaming, but just, hey, look, we're not going to put up with this, it would stop this. But, guys, when you don't offer any resistance to tyranny, it continues to push. You've got to push back. And that's what we're not doing in this country, because the pulpit has been compromised by the Johnson Amendment, and they're scared to death to talk about political things because they're fear of losing their 501c status. That's what I love about Chuck Baldwin. He's been a guest on the show many, many, many times. He's left a church in Pensacola, a huge church that he had built, moved to Montana, left a church behind, started another church that is not 501c. That makes it a lot more difficult, because you got to get, you get taxes on all the donations that are coming in, and it's very, it's problematic, because at that point, you know, he continues to meet like in a hotel lobby out there, not a lobby but a room in a hotel, because it's not conducive to buy a huge, how should I say, church as far as plant and equipment, because you can't write it off. You have to depreciate like everybody else has to do. And so it makes it very difficult to have a church with it not being a nonprofit. But I tell you what, he's stuck to it. He's done it. And it's very, very important that we all understand that we need to be supporting people like Chuck Baldwin, who are out there doing what they're doing and telling the truth about the things that they talk about. And some people say, well, he's too anti-Trump. He's too this. He's too that. You know what? I'd rather have him be a little bit too direct and offend some people than be a pansy in the pulpit wearing panties. That's how I look at it. So, you know, I may not agree with everything Chuck says, though I pretty much agree with most of what he says. But the reality is this. You know, where do you draw the line in the sand? We need real men in the pulpit. By the way, I've been watching this video, David Icke, and I don't agree with everything David Icke says. Don't send me letters. I don't want to hear it, okay? Because I don't, like, about 15-20% of the stuff he writes, I'm just completely, I think he's kind of like way off line with it, especially his anti-Christian stance. And that's because his primary exposure to Christianity has been the Church of England and its corruption with the state. But he just has written a new book called The Trigger. And I'm sending you a video that kind of summarizes the entire book. It's called The Satanic Death Cult Behind 9/11. And in this book, and I don't know if he's been listening to our shows or what, because we've been talking about this for so many years, and he never talked about this before. He talks about the Sabbatean Kabbalists and the rebuilding of the Third Temple and basically what they want to do with the Antichrist and all of this other stuff. So I'm going to put – I haven't finished watching this video. I've watched about 20 minutes of it. It's about an hour long. So far, it's good. And so I'm going to post this on the Health Masters news site so you can find it, because it's been pretty much censored. It's hard to get. So I just want you guys to realize that there are other people out there, and he's an international best-known selling author. He does seminars all over the world that are packed out. He's been banned in the country of Australia, period, banned. I think he's been banned in Canada now, too. They don't want him going in and talking about the death cult that runs the planet, which are the Sabbatean Kabbalists, and he goes into detail with it. Now, he's leaving some gaps in there that basically I cover pretty good on our show, but I think it's wonderful that other people are finally starting to talk about the stuff that I talk about, that is finally getting traction, and we're finally starting to see a movement away from Zionism. Remember, that's a political movement. Yeah, I'm not talking about Jews. I'm not talking about the anti-Jewish stuff. I'm talking about anti-Zionism stuff, because a lot of people that are Zionists who want to rebuild the Third Temple and bring in the Antichrist, they claim to be Christians, like John Hagee. So you know, I don't like their teachings. I don't like what they believe in. And I played you that video about Hagee saying that Jesus did not come to be the Messiah. I played it on this show, and I don't want to belabor that point, but you can see that online. But guys, it's so important that we have people out there speaking the truth, whether they agree with us 100% with Christianity or not. As long as 80-85%, that's a B in college, is okay, I'm good with it. Just remember, I don't agree with everything he says. If you want to watch it, watch this video. It'll give you some input and tie some of the strings together for you. Austin, what do you think, and what's your next story?
Oh, great stuff. And I got a couple of good articles here. The first one I wanted to bring up real quick, and then I got a health article that I'm going to dive into that's really important. The first one, though, is, again, and I'm going to keep bringing these stories up because I want to shed some light on what's really, really going on with these red flag gun laws, is we see another individual, older individual now, that basically was up in Martha's Vineyard Times. They reported on this 84-year-old Korean War veteran red flag for doing nothing. This is an interesting story here. Stephen Nichols was meeting with his friend at a diner in Oak Bluffs. They were discussing the fact that one of the resource officers at the school that they had all worked at often left his post as kids arrived to school to drink coffee at the Extra Mart. So he was complaining about this to another individual that basically they all worked at the school together, and he was telling them how the resource officer was pretty much useless. He would leave when kids were there to go get coffee. Now, he said that basically when they were doing this, he told them that the officer, while he was leaving his post, that somebody could come in and shoot up the school. And apparently, the waitress, not a relative, nothing, the waitress that was waiting on him got extremely offended by that comment. She went and called the Tillsbury police chief, Mark Sabio, and basically filed a complaint. The police chief basically thought a complaint was convincing enough and filed for a red flag gun order to be issued. Now, Nichols was not armed at the diner, nor was he armed at his duties at school, nor has he ever made a threat to anybody. He simply made a comment to a personal friend at a diner that the waitress overheard. Well, law enforcement showed up. They told him that what he said was a felony, but they weren't going to charge him if he gave up his guns. Don't you love that one? The guns were turned over to his son-in-law, as they legally allowed him to do that, and law enforcement also forced him to turn over his firearms permit on the spot, although the 84-year-old said he was given no receipts or paperwork to document the seizure. Now, this guy is a U.S. Army Korean War veteran. I'm going to add that in there. This 84-year-old man is a U.S. Army Korean War veteran. He had never been charged with a crime before, had never been charged with a felony, had never had his gun permit removed, had never had anything, any issues, and since he had had his carry fire, his firearm permit to carry, since 1958. No records of any violations whatsoever. Doesn't matter. They still went ahead and did this. Now he's going to have to basically, he said he's selling his guns to pay for an attorney and filing an appeal to get his job back, as this whole thing has turned into a giant debacle. This is what I keep warning everybody about, and for some reason a lot of people still send me emails, and when I talk to them in person, they don't take this seriously, and they think this is a big joke with the red flag gun laws, and this is some type of hilarious joke prank that's going to go away all of a sudden, and it's not going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. A 84-year-old U.S. Army Korean War veteran tells his friend in confidence at a diner that one of the resource officers there is a slacker and goes to get coffee, and that somebody could come in and shoot up the school while he's slacking off. The waitress, a hardcore liberal from pretty much what I found out, gets mad, turns him into the sheriff's department, and they seize all of his firearms and revoke his firearm carry permit. This is the police state that we have warned about, and this is why we cannot under any circumstances allow a federal red flag gun law to be implemented or put into law, because it will go 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times worse than this once you allow the feds to get involved with this. Very, very, very sad story. Hopefully he can get this whole thing dropped and get this whole thing over with, but this is why due process is mandated in the Constitution, and this is why the red flag gun laws are probably one of the most diametrically opposed things to the Second Amendment we have ever seen written into law. Just wanted to add that on there.
Austin, what state was that in?
Let me pull it up again real quick here. I had the article. It was American Mirror. I'm going to pull this up real quick. I had like three different articles I was pulling up here on the topic of it.
That's okay. I'm just curious what state it was in. I hope it's not Florida, because Florida's gotten so draconian with the red flag gun laws. It's absolutely ludicrous. Thousands of people in the state of Florida now have lost their gun permits and their weapons. And also said something yesterday, too. In California now, they've changed this red flag gun law to not take the weapons away for a year. They're going to take it away for 5 years. Now, you think about that for a second. Do you really think they're going to pack these guns in Cosmoline and keep them oiled? Or do you think they're going to set them in some warehouse somewhere and let them basically dry rot, rust out, and no longer even be an effective weapon after 5 years? And will they allow you to have somebody else come in and take the weapons and sell the weapons or whatever you want to do with the weapons or move out of the state? The answer is no. Once they get these guns, they're not going to take care of these weapons. They're going to let them rot if they even keep them in proper inventory, like this guy just said with Austin. He wasn't even given a receipt for the stuff they took. He's 84 years old. He's 84 years old. Oh, yeah, of course, it's Massachusetts. What else now?
Oh, yeah. Hardcore levels. I didn't think this happened down here in Florida, but this is how it's going to escalate, Dad.
Well, and now, good. Were you going to another story? I hated to interrupt you like that. Okay.
Yes, no, that's fine. I'm glad you clarified that. I was trying to pull a couple articles on that health topic that I want to hit real quick today. You guys always hear me talk about it's so important when your wife is pregnant that you eat super clean. You got 9 months, make it count, eat as clean as you can, stay in as decent shape as you can. Obviously, don't overwork yourself or exercise excessively. I don't recommend that either. But again, staying in decent shape, eating clean, doing some mild activity as you become further and further along in the pregnancy. Dad, me and Lana, I worked with her a lot on that. It worked out great. You don't have to go crazy in the gym, but just doing exercise, mild exercise continually is very, very good to keep the body strong, very, very healthy, and also, too, eating clean. I've seen so many girls so many times, so many Lana's friends, so many other people that I know. The girls get pregnant, and all of a sudden, I'm craving this. I'm craving this. I need to eat this. The baby's craving this. And they put on 50, 60, 70 pounds during the pregnancy. And I've had people argue with me, oh, that's completely normal. I had a 9-pound baby. It was completely okay for me to add on 60, 70 pounds. I'm here to tell you, no, that's not okay. And the research that I'm about to tell you right now, no, that's not okay at all. It's actually detrimental to the baby's health. The research, basically, that was led by Peter Nathanos out of UW's Wyoming Pregnancy and Life Course Health Center appears in the Journal of Physiology now. The research shows that the effects of maternal obesity pass across generations to offspring, accelerating the rate of aging of metabolic problems that occur in normal life. The researchers basically observe the offspring through their life, puberty, early life, later in adult life, and early aging through the offspring of obese rat mothers to determine a rate at which they aged. Offspring of the obese mothers had more body fat, showed early pre-diabetic signs at an early rise in insulin resistance, and also increased susceptibility to diabetes. Offspring of the obese mothers showed impaired function of the mitochondria, which is the power station of the cells, and these changes make it more than likely that the organisms will also develop heart disease. Interesting, some of the unwanted outcomes resulting from the maternal obesity were different in the male and female offspring. The reason for this is not clear, but it's thought to be hormonal in nature. They said these findings add to the accumulating evidence for the influence of conditions in the womb in early life on the offspring's health and susceptibility of diseases throughout their earlier life. They also went on to say earlier research they had indicated that obese pregnant mothers in exposure to high-fat, high-sugar diets during pregnancy also produced fatty liver in the fetus, potentially predisposing the children to obesity and metabolic and cardiovascular disorders later on in life. And this is why you hear about a lot of people go, oh, it's hereditary. It's in my family. I have these issues in my family. Well, the thing that you have to understand is if your mom ate a certain way while she was pregnant and you were born, and you eat the same way that your parents eat as you grow up, and then you continue to eat the same way with your new wife that your parents ate, and you have a child, and they eat the same way that you did, and you continue to eat the high fructose corn syrup and the high fat lunch and meats and the pork and the high fructose corn syrup and the hydrogenated oils and everything across the board, yes, it is going to appear very, very likely that these issues are hereditary, but they're not necessarily hereditary in the form that people use them as a scapegoat. They're hereditary because the diet and lifestyle of each generation continues to get worse and worse and worse, consistent with the last, and it causes more and more health issues down the line. It is imperative while you are building that baby, you are taking good prenatals, you are taking a large amount of folate, large amount of B vitamins, the third trimester loading down on omega-3 fats, and also magnesium as well. The magnesium brain food is really, really important. It's ironic. One of my good friends that she was pregnant with, one of my very good friends with him, he's a sheriff down here. She was pregnant with a baby girl. We put her on her prenatals. We put her on omega-3. And she kept telling me she was having these cravings, constantly having cravings for, like, sugar, chocolate, and stuff. But she was really, really trying to eat strict. She was trying to eat all organic. I worked with her a lot on it. And so she finally asked me for anything. And I said, well, I said, try our magnesium brain food. I said, this is just a shot in the dark. I said, try it. I said, I know magnesium is incredibly good for the baby and their development in general, 100%. I said, it'll also help you out if you're having muscle cramps, anything like that. She goes, okay. So I said, start on 2 scoops a day and work your way up. Your body can use a lot of it right now. So she started on it. She texts me up about 5 or 6 days into it. She goes, this is the craziest thing. She goes, I'm not having any type of basically cravings anymore. I'm eating like chicken and rice with coconut oil and avocado and eggs and everything, and I'm not having any sugar cravings at all, except like once in a blue moon I'll eat like some coconut ice cream. She goes, ever since I started taking magnesium, I have no cravings. She ran out of it, called me up like 3 days later. She goes, I got to get the magnesium now, Austin. I got to come over there today. She goes, I'm having all these sugar cravings again. Got back on the magnesium, completely stopped. Very healthy pregnancy, very healthy baby. She's dropped almost all the weight from her pregnancy already because she didn't go up 60, 70, 80 pounds. She went up, I think, like 30 pounds, healthy range, and loved it. Still takes the magnesium, still taking the prenatals while she's pregnant and keeping them basically in her system that are constantly being fed to her daughter through the breastfeeding. So it's possible to do. You have to make the right choices, though, and start eating the right foods, and it can play a very, very pivotal role in the health of your child for the rest of their life, Dad, especially according to this research.
Well, Austin, it deals with nutrient density. The body uses magnesium over 350 biochemical reactions, and it's critical with the way. And, you know, in the sense, a lot of times people don't realize it, but chocolate, dark chocolate, can have some have good levels of magnesium in them. But you don't need to be eating a lot of chocolate when you're pregnant, because a lot of that chocolate comes out of South America, where a lot of people are still running leaded gas. So you got to be very careful with that. So taking a product like our magnesium brain food is a whole lot better than it would be basically eating a bunch of chocolate and a bunch of junk food. And you're absolutely right. I know when Sharon was pregnant, you know, with you, and you know, and after your dad had the pregnancy, she didn't gain a bunch of weight. I mean, from the back, if you look at it from the back, you didn't, you know, she had a big belly on her, but she didn't have a big, you know, she didn't, you know, blow out 70, 80 pounds. And ladies, you got to be really careful with that. If you gain all that weight during pregnancy, you may not be able to lose it as quickly. I mean, it's very difficult sometimes to lose the body fat from pregnancies. And then you can be fighting that the rest of your life. And let me tell you something, guys, too, and this is really, really important. I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to talk to men for a second. You've got to tell your wife that she's beautiful and she's desirable, because if you don't, she'll cease being either. She'll stop being desirable and she'll stop being beautiful. She'll just let herself go. You can't do that. And the same thing with women. You got to tell your husbands they're handsome and you appreciate them, et cetera, et cetera. And you think, well, my husband's not handsome anymore. It's probably because you quit telling him. My wife's not beautiful anymore. It's because you probably quit telling her. Guys, everybody needs to feel important. Everybody needs to think that their spouse finds them attractive. It's so important that we continually encourage each other and our spouses throughout our entire marriages, throughout our entire life. Just one thought I'd add that in is a little bit of extra info. Guys, I love you. I appreciate them. Appreciate you. I appreciate all the things that you do as far as supporting of Health Masters. And you guys get such a kick out of your emails. We love your show. We get, you know, 4 hours of information out of a one-hour show, and we have to deal with all the commercials. Guys, that's because of you. If you weren't supporting Health Masters and getting your multiple vitamins and your toothpaste and your magnesium brain food and all the different things that we have that are available that are super high-quality products, we couldn't provide this show for you without a bunch of commercials. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I had the opportunity to pray for you again this morning. I prayed a special prayer for all of you this morning to be completely and totally blessed in everything that you do in your entire life, for you to be always at the right place at the right time, every time, and for your footsteps to be ordered by the Lord. I love you guys. Also, go ahead and finish it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely, guys. Thank you again so much for the continued support. Please be sure to check out a lot of the different specials we have on there. Thank you for continually supporting Health Masters. This is how we stay in business, and this is how we continue to grow. And, you know, again, it helps you stay healthier, helps your family stay healthier. We're here if you have any questions. Call us, 1-800-726-1834. Always here to help you guys out with any information. Last day of the sale of the Ultimate Multiple product of the week, the Ultimate Multiple capsules, or excuse me, Ultimate Multiple Chewable. Let me correct that. The Ultimate Multiple Chewable on sale for the last day right now. And also be sure to vote for what you want to see win tomorrow as product of the week. It looks like the joint rebuilding formula is pulling pretty strong right now, which is a great product. So we'll see if that one continues to go. And again, thank you guys. Stay strong. Stay aware. Push the truth out. Wake as many people up as you can. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.